Hey Pod, we're back.
Yes, hello, welcome to another episode of History Time. Story Time with a historical precedent. Catherine looks like she's lip-syncing her face off. Lip-syncing, excuse me, I should have pronunciated. To me
as
saying
always.
The cute little catchphrase of the show. Disclaimer, this is an exciting thing I can throw in here. My lovely friend Jamie, if she's listening, teacher extraordinaire Jamie, my friend Jamie in California.
Multiple, oh,
we
Jamie
the fact
Bates.
That we have multiple Jamies who stay on this podcast makes me so happy.
Hold on, Jamie listens.
Jamie does listen. Both of our Jamies, yes. So, the Jamie in California was out on a walk, and well, California, Arizona, dual citizen, whatever. She's out on a walk, and when I said the his story, like story time, historical precedent, she thinks it's like, she was like, I mean, I know you're going for like a story time thing, but every time you say his story and you accent the his, it just sounds like you're misogynistic.
That's hilarious.
And I was like, and then I snapped back and I was like, of course I'm a misogynistic woman, but
I'm dead.
That's the whole bit.
That's hilarious. I needed that. Mm-hmm. On this fine Wednesday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. When does this episode drop, Catherine?
It drops tomorrow, and we're filming our intro the day prior. Actually, I'm pretty sure this goes out in 12 hours.
Yeah.
So that's really
fun. If you're listening to this right now, just know that today is, in fact,
wait, does
Wednesday
that mean
the 13th.
That means I have to somehow edit this. Didn't know about that. Now I do. Crazy.
Wow.
Crazy
wow.
How that works.
Yes. So now that you also know what time it is, like what day it is,
yeah,
what we're dealing with, you also should realize we are in the midst of our AP exams.
And I will cry.
I have already taken one, and it is probably the most stressful thing I've done all of quarantine.
How was that?
I didn't have any problems, but the College Board released that for the Physics C exam, which is calculus-based physics,
mm-hmm.
which sounds so fun. Oh, of the 50,000 online tests they had kids take, 1,000 did not submit and have to retest. That's like 2% of kids who took the test, finished the test, and have to retake it.
Honestly, I know in my soul how my life works. I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to have to retake it. Last year, for my biomed final, I literally had to retake it because mine was the only one that didn't submit out of the whole, like, academy. Because you know how, like, you know
yeah.
what tech school I'm talking about. Out of the whole freaking academy that took, I was
yep.
the only one. And I can feel that that's going to happen. And it's literally eating me alive. Eating
hey,
my insides.
Just don't submit it with, like, a minute left. I had to submit mine with, like, 4 minutes left on my exam. And it was
yeah.
fine.
Well,
just
I've also
give yourself plenty of time.
I've also heard that the troubleshooting happened because it was like they were having to upload pictures, and I'm planning
yeah.
on copying and pasting.
I copy and pasted, and that worked well.
Right. So I'm
just straight from a Google Doc.
Hoping that will work out for me. If not, you know,
we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Another thing that we can probably talk about. We love this episode. I think this is my favorite episode we've done so far.
This is fun. I think we're both very politically tired right now. Like,
mm-hmm.
I haven't looked at any news sources. I haven't read any articles. My Twitter has been purely for TikTok jokes and College Board memes.
Yep,
it hasn't
yep.
been for anything politics, and that's the way it shall be until all my tests are over, because you know what? I need as much sanity in my life, and the world is not providing that. So
this week we get a little bit, hold up, we get a little bit spooky.
Yes, not as spooky as we could do, but spookier.
Not as spooky as we could do. Like, we're gonna be spookier with our Halloween time episodes.
I'm so excited.
Oh my gosh, I'm so hyped. But I get a little bit spooky. Catherine's aren't as spooky, but
no,
they really aren't. They're more just like,
this happened.
They're more just like conspiracy fun
yeah.
things. And mine are just kind of messed up.
Right.
Messed
also,
up
I have
stories.
A cute little announcement that I've decided
Oh my
to
goodness.
Do.
What's your cute little announcement?
I've decided, and this won't translate this episode, but I've decided to try and stop cussing. Personal growth, character development. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm gonna try.
We are listed as an explicit podcast
solely because Apple of me.
For a reason.
I'm the reason.
I swear sometimes. Yeah, but you swear like a sailor, but
I know, and I'm trying to stop because I've always loved swearing, but I realize that maybe it isn't the most best thing I could do for myself. I don't know.
Funny story about this podcast. When we started, Catherine and I were just sitting and we're like, are we gonna swear? And then we both just looked at each other and we were like, yeah, only if it's tasteful.
And then I said, no, never mind.
And I'll we were like, it. We both kind of were just like, you know what, fuck that.
Literally. But I'm trying. Mm-hmm. I'm really gonna try. And I don't know how well it's gonna go in my everyday life, because honestly, I talk to myself. Okay, I'm not one of those people that are like, oh, you talk to yourself. No, I talk to myself. You know why? Because I'm funny. I enjoy myself. I like myself. I like my humor. So I'm like, wow, and when I'm talking to myself, I also happen to swear at whatever is happening. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this blank thing, or why is my life
yeah.
I'm trying not to
swear. I will say, driving passenger while Catherine is driving the car, that is so freaking funny. I had probably one of the worst days of 2020 before Corona, pre-Corona, the worst day I had of 2020. I got into the car with Catherine and she drove to Starbucks and it just cured me of all of my sadness.
That was amazing. And then I remember we were harmonizing to the Hamilton soundtrack.
So good. Like the history nerds that we are.
It was so funny. And then the Starbucks barista, we were like, oh, hi, Catherine. I was like, this is what it's like to be me.
And I remember he was really cute.
He is so cute. Oh,
so sad.
I told Anyways. One of the baristas that worked there, I was like, oh my gosh, she's so cute. And then she's like, he's 24.
Catherine is almost legal.
Yeah, in how many months? A couple months.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Anyways, this episode, trying to think, do we have a quote that we'd like to share?
I had a tweet that I shared during the first intro. I had to delete the first intro because it decided to be bad.
That's okay. While you search up that tweet, I'm going to tell the audience what we have in store for you this episode. This is a super spooky, fun, cool episode. I take you guys to turn of the century Lincoln, Nebraska with a couple stories. I tell you some stories about some accusations, some witchcraft, and then about some spooky ghosts that are rumored to haunt.
Right.
So that's really exciting. The funny thing about my story this week is that it's not even original. I literally took it from this one reporter who wrote a beautiful piece, and I was just like, I need to expose this to people. And then, without giving too much about Catherine's Way, because Catherine's is fun if you go into it and you don't know what's happening, because that's literally what I did. Mm-hmm. And she'll take you on an adventure that inspired a modern-day phenomenon.
Yeah, and, I would say that.
Yeah, and it's something that, you're a cooler person if you know about. It's something I wish I knew about. I'm trying to stall for as long as possible.
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm not
it's something. It's something you. No. The other thing about Catherine's too, it's something we don't know about.
Okay, found it.
Okay. So yeah, get excited for that.
So our quote this week isn't really a quote; it's more so a tweet. But okay, this has a swear word in it. I'm gonna cry. Okay. I'm just gonna bleep it. People be like, I'm a patriot. If you don't like America, leave. And then have a Confederate tattoo. I just thought that needed to be shared. I thought that was so funny. I thought that was peak comedy queen.
I now remember this one thing I said last week, and I worded it so beautifully.
Yes, I remember.
According to Catherine, and now I'm just going to try to recreate it, and it's not going to hit the same.
Hold on.
But.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
But I think it's something like, it's funny how patriotism then was all about how like this was like not even patriotism, but like in the Confederate States of America, it was like, this is what we believe in. We need to leave. We need to remove ourselves from the situation. And now in modern day America, it's like, you need to leave. You need to remove yourself from the situation. I disagree with you.
Yeah, that's
and it's a Michael Scott. Well, how the turntables
have turned. This is 10 minutes. I love us.
I love this intro.
This is anyways, like longer than like our stories.
This is longer than my story. Okay, with that, go ahead and grab your snacks, get comfortable, and enjoy this episode of History Time. Okay, are you ready? Because it's gonna be spooky.
I'm so ready.
Okay, Catherine. The two stories I'll be sharing with the group today are, okay, we have the story of Matilda Lauber, the Witch of L Street. Or we have the Ghosts of Wilderness Park. Which one do you want to hear first?
You said her name was Wilda?
Matilda Lauber.
Okay, Matilda.
Matilda first? Okay. Yes. So I'm getting this from the Lincoln Journal Star. And okay. The thing about my stories today is they're beautifully written. So I'm low-key not even like shamelessly just like taking their brilliance and exposing them to the world. You can look it up. Awesome. Journalstar.com. Look up The Witch of L Street if you want to read more about it. Fascinating. But that's beside the point. Okay. So, Matilda Lauber is this woman, and she lives on her own in Lincoln, Nebraska, obviously, on L Street. She lives at 615 L Street in the bottom land west of Lincoln, Nebraska.
Word.
Okay, maybe I lied about what the witch's name was.
What's her name?
It might be Tilly.
Matilda Tilly?
But, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like a... The way it's written is low-key confusing. But, okay, so Tilly is described as having long yellowed teeth.
Word.
Which, you know, if they have long yellowed teeth, they're obviously a witch.
Yeah.
If histories and... like children's TV shows have taught us nothing. It's that witches have long yellow teeth.
Right.
And this is back in like the olden days. And a fun thing people don't necessarily know about like American judiciary systems is that like in the olden days, like court cases were a form of entertainment.
That's interesting. In
To Kill a Mockingbird with Gregory Peck, you know how like the entire town is there?
Oh yeah.
It's because like there weren't things to do. Everyone just like went to watch the murder trial. It's just what you did. It was a form of entertainment, which...
I feel like that's the equivalent of people that, like, still watch C-SPAN.
Yeah. Or it's like... No, I honestly, if I lived in that time, there would be nothing I'd be more excited to do than just, like, go watch a trial.
Okay, word. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
I'd still probably totally do that today.
Yeah, I still kind of watch C-SPAN sometimes. If it really gets pushed to shove, you might as well.
Yeah. Okay, so anyways, the court convened on January 19th, 1900. Okay? And there's this suspected sorceress, as she's so called, who scoured the streets and alleys in search of black cats. This declared dark fairy who cast spells on their menfolk and marked their children with an evil eye. And now, someone in the town, like, kind of low-key is coming for her. There's someone named Anna Small initially in the court. She confesses that she's guilty of what she's done to her to judge Judge Comstock. Okay, that's who this is. So the thing in question was that the witch threw dirt on this woman and her husband, and it was said to have caused sickness, and the witch did her bewitching with it.
She did her bewitching.
Yeah, and she threw dirt on the doorstep. And it separated the wife and the husband and caused sickness. So.
Okay.
Which, the way this is written, so it says, she threw it on my doorstep to separate me and my husband and cause sickness. So I wonder if this was a justification for divorce.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I feel like any time that there was anything non, like, Puritan that anybody yes. did.
Puritanical. Just
witchcraft. That's mm-hmm. all. That's all you had to say. And it was like, okay, who do I burn?
Who? Yeah. Which one? And point. So, and the other thing is like, is an annulment really easier than a witch hunt?
For real.
Let us consider. Okay. So then the crowd's still Jay chilling. The judge is presented with the dirt. Like okay. the literal dirt, where it's like, imagine, I would just imagine the judge being like, okay, give me the dirt. And it's literal dirt.
Okay, can you imagine, like, them, let's say this is all made up. She's not a witch. Okay, she's mm-hmm. just, like, a random, like, girl.
She just threw dirt still.
Oh, okay, she threw dirt. But, like, imagine like them picking up the dirt and, like, putting it in a mason jar, because that's, that's what my head's thinking right now. Just like, yeah, put it in there. The mason well, jar.
Well, apparently the dirt smelled bad. Because the judge opened it and quickly closed it.
Okay. That's interesting.
And, yeah. And then his nose wrinkled. Judge Comstock did not think it was a pleasant smell. So. Then it's also important to note that Matilda Lauber had, like, advertisements set throughout the town. According to this, they read, Miss Matilda Lauber is now at 836 South 8th Street. If you are sick or in distress of any kind, don't fail to call on her. She gives valuable reading upon love and business and all affairs of life. In okay. possession of the Cleopatra amulet, the only sure restoration of truant husbands, wives, and lovers.
So, well, Cleopatra didn't really have that much luck in love, so I'm not sure about that one.
I think it's funny, though. But if you say, like, a Cleopatra amulet, people are like, ooh. Also, tell me more. Remember, the, like, schema of Cleopatra is that she was, like, this, like, beautiful woman who, like, was able to love all these men and, like, be powerful and stuff. Like, people genuinely think of Cleopatra as being a good, like, historical figure. They don't know any better. They know about her homegirl, Arsinoe. That's just the point.
Yeah, Arsinoe.
I like how the last line of that reads, the only sure restoration of Toronto husbands, wives, and lovers. Okay, was she a witch or was she like a marriage counselor?
You know, that's my question. Like somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle. I mean, that Cleopatra amulet low-key is suspicious in this. She did throw dirt. So, yeah. She had a $1 fee, which is for quote unquote. Recovering stolen goods or lengthening your life. I mean, $1 in 1900.
Yeah, maybe. Lengthen my life.
Yeah. There's also other witches in Nebraska it mentions. There are two women in Jansen accused of bewitching a little girl, causing her toes to curl and limbs to twitch.
That so sounds just, like a seizure.
That does. And I feel like they just like, that's the thing. Like, you know the movie Mean Girls?
Yeah.
Where they're like, they talk about like the toxicity of like girl culture.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oftentimes we tear each other down to make us feel stronger.
Yes.
Yeah. I wonder if it's like, kind of that's what's going on. And they're accusing these women of like hexing their daughters because terrible things happen.
That's an interesting analysis, Blake. I buy that. Wow. I buy that completely.
Thank you. Oh, sophistication point earned. Okay. So.
I'm dead.
It's so. And then at the same time, the Omaha Evening Bee, which is our local news source, quote, says, some of our good people are so frightened they see witches flying through the air on broomsticks. So people are like seeing things. They're seeing witches flying through the air on broomsticks. As one does. So, yeah. This is where the public is at. This is what people are thinking. This is what they're vibing with. So, going right along. they are entranced by this trial, like everything that's going on. And the alleged witch began to chatter and gibber, as alleged witches are wont to do. And at this, the judge rapped for order, as judges are wont to do. And the judge Comstock brings it back, and he's talking about how it all started with that awful dirt. And the dirt Lauber scattered to break up her marriage. So the judge fixates on this thing where he's like, hold up, you think this dirt broke up your marriage? And so Mrs. Small, who's the like the wife mm-hmm. who has the broken home, confronted her with it. And the neighbor stood peering. So Miss Small then declares, this is a quote too, so I feel like this is a court stenographer saying this. She said she didn't do it and called me awful names. Another quote. Then I slapped her in the face.
Oh.
Another quote. So you struck her, did you? Another quote. Yes, and if I'd been stronger, I'd have given her more.
She mad.
Mm-hmm.
She's not happy.
The Lincoln Journal Star chooses to include this line. The mother of six turned to her dementor. Tormentor? I said dementor. Like, this is motherfucking Harry Potter. Oh my gosh. The mother of six turned to her tormentor and said, you've got me so I can't tend to my family for your spells.
Wow, hit him in the pathos.
And then, guess what happens next?
Oh my god, no, what?
Lincoln Journal Star. I love the way this is written. It says, Matilda Lauber crowed merrily, her wild cackling laugh echoing in the courtroom.
That was Edgar Allan Poe shit. Mm-hmm. That's what that mm-hmm. was. That's mm-hmm. the diction. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've been doing too many rhetorical analysis for, like, practice or something, but, like, diction.
Mm-hmm. Then, there are more witnesses, not just Miss Small, mother of six, who slapped the witch. There's Miss Miller and Miss Finley saying she got the baby sick. She buys black cats and boils them alive. Yeah. And then she Miss Small chimes in again. She says she's killing me with her freaking dirt. And then Miss, she's like, come down and see. She tells the judge, and the judge, like, then bangs his gavel. He goes bang bang bang, and he says, due to extraordinary extenuating circumstances, I shall not find Miss Small for the assault. Case dismissed. That's what happens. And that ends the story of the trial of the Witch of L Street in Lincoln, Nebraska on January 19th, 1900.
So, like, was she...
So it gives us a little bit of closure.
Okay, cool. I was going to be like, bruh.
And when it says, when I say it gives us a little bit of closure, it says, the Lincoln Journal Star asks these questions. How did Miss Small's marriage fare? What was the fate of Miss Miller's sick baby? What became of the city's unfortunate black cats? We know nothing for certain.
So the closure is, there is no closure. Is that mm-hmm. what I was like?
Mm-hmm.
That's so, wow.
However, we do get closure. We do get closure with Miss Matilda Lauber.
Okay.
So she lives another 40 years after this trial.
How old is she during the trial? Do we know?
She was 47 at the time of the trial then.
Oh, she lived to be quite old.
Mm-hmm. Dies at 87 years old.
Maybe she was a witch.
Yeah, she said, and it says, on November 14, 1940, at 12:30 a.m., the 87-year-old died at the home for the friendless on South Street and was buried the next morning at Wayuka Cemetery.
The home for the friendless?
Yeah, the home for the friendless. That's
like, if I'm like ever put in that home, you break me out. I don't care if you're dead first, you're taking me out of there.
Wow. Okay. And then this is a line that haunts me. I really have to thank journalist Cindy Lang Kubik for this at the Lincoln Journal Star. I'm literally plugging them so hard. This is such a well-written article. I'm literally just like taking, like, I'm blatantly taking this. This is so good. And the final line is, if anyone came to mourn the woman with the long yellow teeth who lived and died alone, the newspaper neglected to mention them.
Whoa. That was
so written. That's the story of the Witch of L Street of Lincoln, Nebraska.
Wow.
All right. But we're not done there, because we're going to get to more spooky stuff about Lincoln. So this next story I've actually heard about from a friend. He lives in Lincoln, and there's one night during quarantine where the people he's quarantined with, they went out for a drive and they drove by this park.
Oh, I'm so excited. And
he was this is the creepy one.
Yay.
And he was telling me about the stories he'd heard. And, you know, this episode, we're talking about, like, the urban legends and things. He told me about these stories he'd heard at this place called Wilderness Park.
Okay.
And it was apparently haunted. He drove by, and I was on FaceTime with him because I was bored too. And he showed me, like, these, like, old circus gates, like, when the circus would come to town.
What?
And there's, like, a forest there now, but this, like, cement and steel, just giant kind of haunting gate just exists. And he drove by it in the middle of the night. It was really creepy, like, scary stuff. And so, this is the place. I did some more research because I was intrigued after he showed me this, like,
really
archaic haunting gate.
I would hope.
And it leads me to two places. It leads me to this website called Midwestern Ghosts and Hauntings
I've literally been on that website before. I used to be so obsessed, like, ridiculously obsessed with stuff. Okay.
So, I like this too. Then I found a site on Reddit, as one does. Hold up, let me exit this tab. So there's another one on, like, Reddit. What people commented about this very story on Reddit and things. Fascinating stuff. So Wilderness Park. There are really two things I'm going to share about this.
Okay.
There's one thing regarding a railroad disaster in the late 1800s, and then another one about a child murdering witch.
Hmm.
Again, urban legends. The Rock Island train disaster, as it's called, in 1894, has been verified, though. That is true. So, we know that in 1894, a train headed northward was going over this place called Salt Creek, and something went terribly wrong. The locomotive and the few cars tumble off this 40-foot-long bridge onto the ground below. A fire breaks out, and 11 people die.
Oh my gosh.
So, then this next line. The real tragedy is that it was no accident. The bridge was sabotaged. A saboteur was found and convicted, but that did not change the fact that people died. Some say that they still roam the area near Salt Creek in what is now Wilderness Park.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and then there's a photo with it of, like, the late 1800s train derailment bridge, and it's, like, hazy, and it looks like, and it's like, the way it's captured, it looks like a fall day,
mm-hmm.
where all the leaves have fallen off, and the sky is overcast, and the world is just, like, white, except for, like, the twigs and branches that, like, extend into the sky.
Right.
Ugh, aesthetic.
Oh.
So, these ghosts, when they've been seen, people report, like, who are, like, hiking or walking in Wilderness Park, whatever, they'll report strange whispers.
Mm.
And people, like, have been heard, like, footsteps behind them without hearing anything. Dogs have been known to freak out. Other thing that I'm reading, I didn't read this until right now. It says, the man who killed them only served 10 years of his sentence before being released on parole.
What? He killed 11 people.
The saboteur.
People.
Mm-hmm. It says, there's a marker that marks the spot where the disaster occurred and people lost their lives.
That's so sad.
So yeah, that's the first spooky one. Okay, get ready for this one. This one is less verified. Even on Reddit, I was able to find a little bit less about it, but it's the Witch of the Woods of Lincoln, Nebraska.
Okay, my light's going back on.
Yeah. So it says, in the early 1900s, there was a short period of time where roughly 6 local children went missing in the Lincoln area.
Oh, that's so sad.
And you know, like, the way cops believe are just like, oh, I bet they ran away.
Oh, 6 of them.
And then people are just like, that makes sense. Like, if you've ever listened to the My Favorite Murder podcast, that happens all the time. People go to the police and say, this is wrong. Like, we haven't heard from them. This person's literally missing. And then the police are like, they probably ran away. They're fine.
Spoiler alert,
they're never fine. I mean, sometimes they are, but, like,
rare.
Gut feelings need to be more respected. So, there was one boy that goes missing eventually, And apparently this boy's sister claimed to see him with a woman who lived in this, like, secluded hut in the woods of what is now Wilderness Park. And apparently, like, the locals of Lincoln referred to this woman as the Witch of the Woods.
Oh, that's so...
So...
Okay.
This little girl sees this, like, sees her brother. Or her brother or something. Go and, like, go with this woman. And... Pausing for dramatic effect.
Oh, okay.
You're still listening. Okay. Seeing if you're still there. So, little girl sees this happen. The police then go and investigate the woods, and they find the bodies of the children.
Wait, is this, like, confirmed? You said this was confirmed.
This one's a little bit less confirmed. Like, even on Reddit, people are like, oh, yeah, I've heard that in Lincoln. And...
Like, are there police records and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. This happened, it says early 1900s, which you think there would be.
Okay.
A lot of people in this are claiming that they, like... There's a local indie film that's loosely based on this. And then even on Reddit, people ask, like, oh, like, that sounds cool. Like, I'd watch that movie. And then the person that like, made the movie said, it's not a good movie, but hey, we got distributed. Haha. Here's the IMDb page.
So funny.
Which is funny.
Imagine
but, like,
just
there's a
truly
movie
being,
loosely based,
like,
on this.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Like, that movie I made, not good.
Yeah. And then there's just... Yeah, that's kind of funny. But yeah, people, like, know about the Witch of the Woods. Like, it's an urban legend, but, like...
Like, if you live in Lincoln, you'll know. Is it that type of thing?
Yeah, well, like, that's my friend told me about it. And he's only lived there, like, 2 years.
Wow.
So, there's more to this urban legend on MidwesternGhostsAndHauntings.blogspot.com.
Word.
And it says that... local police automatically suspected this woman who lives in this shack, and there's no hard evidence against her. They can't be like, you're a sketchy woman who lives in a shack. It says on this, however, once locals heard what the woman had said, they took matters into their own hands.
My God, I hate it. Why do townspeople always do that shit? They always come back and they always haunt your children.
They riot, yeah. This says the Witch of the Woods was found one day hanging by the neck of a tree.
I hate it here.
She was hanged with chains.
Wow, that's painful.
There's more.
Oh.
It says, many say when you walk the dark woods of Wilderness Park, you can hear the moans of the Witch of the Woods and occasional rattling of chains. Some
wow.
say they have found buried chains that have led to the tree where the woman was hanged. It says, be careful what you find at the end, though, because they say the Witch of the Woods was buried there with the chains still on her. Somewhere in the woods, a shrine exists that memorializes the children that lost their lives there so long ago. So yeah, I read that verbatim, because it was really like...
Spooky.
Yeah. Hopefully you can sleep tonight. I've always wanted to be like a podcast that people can fall asleep to, but
NBM, I guess.
Yeah. So yeah. I feel like after Catherine goes, we're gonna have a really great discussion about mob mentality or something.
Yeah.
But I'm so scared.
Okay.
Okay.
By the way, Blake just looked around at his room on FaceTime right now. Like, he fully just looked up and said,
I low-key did, because I'm just like, what if I was like, okay, do you ever, like, have weird moments where you're, like, strangely paranoid about, like you go to pee in the middle of the night, and then, like, you go back to your room, and you're just like, I should look in my closet.
Me every single day.
I'm just like, what if my life is an episode of Criminal Minds?
Spencer Reed.
Spencer Reed. Okay. With that note, if we've spooked you out enough, we're going to take a little bit of a break here. Maybe you will, too. And then come back, join us for Catherine's section of spooky urban legends and subsequent mob mentality discussion, I'm assuming. And yeah, we'll see you in a bit.
Alrighty, are we ready?
Okay, Catherine, I'm still spooked, but a little bit more excited to hear what you're going to tell us.
You should be. Okay, so I'll give you a choice. Do we want to start with the less urban legendy story, or do we want to start with the more urban legend?
Do the scarier one second.
Okay, I'll do the non-urban thing first. Okay, so you might already know about this because you gave me the idea.
And kind I've of? Already forgotten. I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay. Clearly. So, do you remember a little bit ago? I think it was 2 episodes ago. On the timeline of the pod, we were talking. Well, I was pimping out Outer Banks like super hard, mm-hmm. and I was like, "Oh my god, this is the most interesting thing."
Okay, I'm excited.
Yeah. So I pimped out that show, and Blake was like, "Oh, you know that kind of happened," and I was like literally. "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, like it happened." I was like, "Okay." So I did my research, and now I'm doing the story. So today I'm going to be talking about the 1715 Treasure Fleet. So the story of this fleet begins in 1715, clearly. Now, this ship was owned by the Spanish, of course. They were kind of like the peak, you know, the peak of it right now at this time.
They had the Spanish Armada, which was defeated a few centuries prior, but like still excellent naval force.
It comes up. It comes up. Don't worry. Like the naval force comes up. And I thought that was so interesting, by the way. So yeah. It was owned by the Spanish, and on July 24th, the ship departed from Havana, Cuba, okay? And it was, I don't know where it was going, actually. I believe it was probably going to the Americas, if I'm honest. I'm nervous
right now.
it was going probably to the Americas, probably. So the ship had a treasure worth over 14 million pesos, or $400 million in today's money. Now, just to like allude back to that show, the $400 million treasure is the same in both the show and the 1715 fleet. So I was like, what, sister, say what? I was like, what the heck? Like, that's crazy. Same number. They probably like, you know, inspire the show off the 1715 fleet, to be honest.
Yeah.
They were probably like, oh, damn, heard about that? Yeah, me neither. Let's do it. So, yeah, that's probably what happened. Anyhow.
I almost just spoiled the show for no reason at all. I almost just straight up said if there was gold, and if there were gold, where the gold would be.
Did you finish it, by the
in
way?
Outer Banks. No, I'm still on episode 6.
Okay, you're literally missing out on the best part.
I got distracted, and I started watching Too Hot to Handle, as well as Hollywood. Both great shows on Netflix. Sorry to interrupt, Catherine. Go.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. Too Hot to Handle is really funny, by the way. That's just my thing. Now, unfortunately, when this ship was making its way from Havana, Cuba, there was a hurricane. And, you know, hurricanes and ships don't really, like...
They don't mix.
They don't mix very well. So, there was 12 ships in this fleet, and all of them virtually, like, went down to the ground. And, you know, the fleet sank, and it killed over 1,000 people.
Wow.
Which is crazy, by the way. And I believe there had been, like, a couple incursions prior to the one I'm going to talk about mainly. But they were never really, like, totally successful. And, you know, there was a lot of gold and silver on the ship, so a lot of people wanted to find it. So, a bunch of the recovery was, like, you know, a little weird, especially because of the time. Like, you can't really, like, go out right after a hurricane. I mean, you can, but, like, everything's still a little bit, like, not
in
good.
In 1715, it's less likely.
Right. And, like, the state of Florida was also interested for, like, you know, historical reasons and, like, the scholarly study of it. But, you know, it is what it is. So that takes us to 2020. This ship was found. Well, okay, the treasure was found. Treasure hunters found $6,000 worth of silver coins from the wreck of the 1715 Spanish fleet that sunk off the coast of Florida. Okay, these two treasure hunters are named Jonah and Cole. And they discovered 22 silver Spanish coins And that was enough to be like $6,000. So they said that they don't have like any intention to sell the coins, but like they did find it. So 11 of the 12 ships had like sunk to the sea floor, and one of them hadn't. So all the other immeasurable riches, including like the gold bars, silver coins, and jewelry, really just like disappeared. We don't know if we're gonna find them. You know, we
could find them. Eat them.
Probably. Honestly, wouldn't it be so funny if you like went fishing in Florida mm-hmm. and you were like, "Wow, I got something."
Yeah.
Got something.
I like the idea that there's just like treasure in the ocean.
Me too. I just think it like keeps shit exciting. Like, if the ocean wasn't exciting enough, you know.
We don't know a lot about the ocean. Like people, like we know very little about the ocean and like in the larger picture of it all. Like I think
for sure
when I was in elementary school, in the back of a milk carton, it'd be like moo true moo fun fact, and it'd be like we have explored less than 5% of the Earth's oceans or something. There's some statistic like that that exists.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of like Instagram facts that are like, oh, we know more about the moon than in our own ocean. And I'm like, is that true? Like, do we know more about the moon than our own ocean? I don't know.
I've been to the ocean. Have not been to the moon.
Okay, so. word. But, you know, we live in a matrix, so.
Yeah, the moon doesn't exist.
No. Yeah. Okay, so that takes us to our second story of the day.
Oh, I'm so excited for the second story.
Which is the lost colony. Roanoke.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
I love this season of American Horror Story. Go on.
Okay, so I think we're all familiar with the concepts of, like, first of all, this story. If you're not, oh, buckle up, children. So, we're talking, let's see, what's the date? We're talking 15th century right now, late 15th century, of course, you know, the Columbian exchanges in fruition and such, you know, European powers were all psyched about having access to the new world and, you know, all that shit. So basically, Britain, of course, being Britain, sent a colony or like a bunch of people to the new world. Now, we've all heard of Jonestown. Wow, getting my towns
drink mixed that Kool-Aid. Okay.
Which was established in 1607. Thank you, APUSH. Ha, ha, ha.
That test is next Friday. Wish us luck, everyone.
Literally, we don't talk about it.
By the time this episode is live, it will be like less than 24 hours until Catherine and I have to take the APUSH exam.
Do you realize how many times I've cried in the past week because of these tests? I kid you not. At least 3 times a day, I find myself bawling because of these tests, and I just, wow, it's great.
I'm at the point I don't care anymore. Like, I opened my Chromebook, or my MacBook today, and I was like, you have these assignments to do, and I was like, oh, really? That's crazy.
That's so wild. Yeah, I did 7 AP Learning assignments today because I hadn't done that class for a week and a half, and I was like, wow, I didn't know I could do that. Anyhow.
This is absolutely ridiculous. Sorry, back to Jamestown in 1607.
Yeah, so Jamestown is known as the first successful colony. However, again, prior to that,
terrible.
They sent people out to another colony, which we know as Roanoke, the lost colony, and possibly the oldest American history since it was, you know, the first real, like, the thing we know about, at least, because there were Native Americans here before, but, you know, we had to destroy all their history. So, basically, the story goes like this. In 1587, a group of 115 English men and women arrived at the coast of North Carolina. The governor of the new colony, John White, had to eventually sail back to England to get supplies because they were running low on the things they needed. Now, during this time, there was very much so a fight for naval dominance, as Blake was alluding to earlier. and this occurred between two of the major powers, England and Spain. So, during the time that John White was, you know, venturing back to the homeland to get supplies, a war broke out! Yay! So, this basically completely delayed his ability to get back to Roanoke for over 3 years.
Don't you hate it when a war breaks out and you can't go home for 3 years?
Yeah. Just just girly things, just mm-hmm. not as you say, you know, just
doing relatable things. Content.
Oh, for sure. You know, great. Don't you love it when a pandemic breaks out and you don't know how to act? Yes.
It's been so long since I've seen people.
For real. Okay, so John White eventually makes his way back to Roanoke in August of 1590. Mind you, he left in 1587. So, just imagine that. Like, he left his wife, his daughter, his granddaughter. Interesting fact, by the way. His granddaughter, I think her name was Virginia, is the first person to ever... the first European to be born in the New World, I'm pretty sure. Or the first, like, Englander. Something wow. like that. There's something of that sort. But, like, she was the first something, like, that was born in America, you know? Which is a little crazy, if you think about it. Like, wow. This girl was, like, the first. She was the first, like, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Fun. Cool. Great. So, sorry, I'm trying to find my place in these notes.
You good, baby girl. You good.
So, yeah, he left every other person on the island for 3 years without supplies. So when he finally returned, there was absolutely no trace of anyone or anything there. And there is one single word carved into a tree. And that word was Croatoan, which was carved onto that wooden post. And that's the only trace that was left of the Roanoke Lost Colony. So this leads a lot of people into a lot of speculation. And the speculation is very interesting because just, like, the amount of theories. Now, there's one, like, pretty logical theory that, you know, the normal people will gravitate towards. And, like, I probably believe that one the most. But, like, the other ones are just too interesting not to look into, you know?
What if aliens were involved?
That's, like, one of the big ones. Because there was no trace of these people. So basically, like, the normal version of the story is that they just assimilated into, like, Native American tribes, you know? Yes. And there was a place near the place that they were at named Croatoan Island. So they thought that maybe they just sailed there and there was Native Americans there, clearly. So
they named it Croatoan Island?
That's a really good question. I do not know. It was probably already named. From like explorers or something like that. Explorers, conquistadors, I don't know, something like that. Anyhow, yeah, they basically just believe that, like, they assimilated into the tribe and you had babies with the people and they became one. That is the normal pathway of thinking, which is very logical and honestly kind of believe it. You know, the other ones are too good. Not too, like, mention. Mm-hmm. So here's a couple theories. But first, Blake.
So I did a quick little Google search, and then who named Croatoan Island? It'll turn up, where did the word Croatoan come from? And it says ethnologists and anthropologists believe that the word Croatoan may have been a combination of two Algonquian words meaning talk town or council town. And I know that's a Native American tribe. I think they're, like, closer up to where, like, New England is, but it would make sense for them to be in Virginia.
Yeah.
I believe they're the Longhouse people, but do not quote me on that.
Yeah, Northwestern? Yeah.
Northeastern. They're,
Oh my god, you're so right. Okay.
Perhaps. I know they're up in Northeastern North America.
Right.
So, yeah, that's that insight, in case you were wondering.
Great. So, now let's get into the theories. So, since there's so much mystery around them, and I feel like the thing that, like, propagates all these theories is just the fact that, like, no trace, like, no bodies, no, like, sign of, like, obvious distress, you know, all those things. So, one of them says that they maybe failed sailing back to England. You know, they were like, okay, we don't have supplies, so they, like, went to England, so they all boarded up their ships and said bye.
More treasure, you know? More treasure in the ocean.
Right, and then they, like, got, you know, they were wiped out by a storm or anything like that, you know. Nobody really knows the weather patterns from England because, you know, everybody was stuck in a naval blockade. So that could be a possibility. There's some possibilities that say that they suffered fatal infections, like diseases and stuff from the New World, which, you know, would be pretty logical, but you would definitely see like corpse and stuff, which like mm-hmm. he doesn't say that there was corpse. There's other theories that say they resorted to cannibalism, which, you know, Jonestown. Why do I keep saying Jonestown? Jamestown is famously kind of like known for being high key cannibalistic, but we never talk about it because sensationalism.
It was the starving time.
Yeah, it was indeed the starving time. So there's, you know, theories that point to that. Other people think they were murdered by Native American tribes rather than, you know, that they were just assimilated into the Croatoan tribe. And then there's also like a little bit more outlandish theories, like that of witches. There's people that
we love witches.
There's people that pose that maybe they were executed as witches or something of the sort, and like people suspected of like witchcraft. There's other like super outlandish theories that are like they literally transformed into trees. Which I like that word one. Word, you I know, like because Croatoan was like etched into one of the trees, so maybe they all turned into trees. The just mystically turned into trees because like why?
I like that. Mm-hmm.
Why not?
And the way I think about like Croatoan being etched into a tree is like they left a note that was like be back in 5 minutes. Like you yeah, know when you like do that like or a something.
Post-it note, just cute.
But they were like, aww. Guys, like what would make this like what would make our homeboy like know like where we are at? And they'd be like, Croatoan. What if Croatoan is like some big inside joke? Like this one girl was like, put Croatoan, he'll know what it means. And he gets there and he's like, what the hell is even that?
Well, like my thing is, okay, let's just say that they left for the Croatoan island. I feel like they would leave a longer message, like left for, you know, went mm-hmm. to, not just Croatoan. Because, like, what would have rushed them out of there so quickly that they had one word etched into the tree? You know? Like, what could have, what hassle were they in that caused them to leave so quickly? There's other theories that go, like, they were possessed by the devil, too.
Oh.
Yeah. That there's, like, evil spirits and stuff. Other people say curses from witches. Again, the witches. Yeah, there's a lot of theories when it comes to this, one of which being the alien one, which for some reason has a lot of traction on Reddit and, like, other social medias. Because, you know, since they disappeared without a trace, it would be logical that, like, aliens. Because aliens.
Alien beamed everything up.
Yep. So, that is a story of the lost colony case of our closed.
Own. Yeah. I think it's funny. This is our little discussion time. I believe that's a really good question. I honestly believe that they either like left left Roanoke.
See what and I'm saying?
Were like seeking like resources or a way home.
Right.
Either of those, and then like something happened to them there that explains why there's no corpses, that explains like why everything just like left.
Yeah.
Another genuine theory I could see is conflict with Native Americans.
Yeah, that's another very popular one. Just like the whole Native American thing. Honestly, that's what happened, y'all. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it do be like that. I honestly think they assimilated into the tribe because there wasn't necessarily like, I mean, there was, but like, mm-hmm. I don't think that there were there to intently like, you know, fight with Native Americans.
Mm-hmm. Especially if
yeah, Croatoan, I know what you're gonna say.
Croatoan is a Algonquin word.
Right. And like also if they were starving, if they were like to point to the edge, like what the frick are they gonna do? Are they gonna be like, I'm gonna point my arrow at you. Like give me food. You know, they're gonna wanna like make friends with them. So they feed them or something, you know, they want to be nice. That's what I think happened.
Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of fun to be like, oh, aliens, so
yeah,
that's kind of fun.
And that's the mob mentality of it all. People love a good story, and that story it gets twisted. It definitely
did. Oh, you're so right.
Like, but that's the other thing. It's so interesting to talk about them.
Yeah, like your story, for example, there's a lot of like, oh, we don't know if this shit actually happened. But like, we're going to say it did. You know, that's the whole urban legend thing of it all. And like, mm-hmm. even something like Roanoke, that's based in like something very, very historical, like the Columbian Exchange, and like something very historical and probably kind of well documented, like the first colony of America, like one of the first, can be just shrouded with so much mystery and so much like, did that happen though, is one of the most interesting things ever. And like, I feel like when we look to today, we're like, we document absolutely everything, but like, do we document everything? Like, is the technology that we use gonna just somehow disappear in the next years and nobody will know like what we lived like? Like, I think about that.
Yeah.
Wow. That was kind of deep. That was kind of deep, but...
A lot of great discussion points today. Yeah. We hope you, like, enjoyed our kind of, like, macabre vibe, kind of, like...
Oh, we can do a lot thing. Darker than this.
And we could do a lot darker than this. I think we're going to, like, around Halloween time. That'd be fun to have, like, Halloween scary history podcasts. Yeah, thematic. So,
yeah.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of His Story Time. Without further ado, we're going to let you, hopefully... sleep tonight. We're gonna stop now. And Catherine, do you have any last words?
See you on the flip side.
See you on the flip side. That's a good one. All right, thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.